Welcome, everyone, to Champion Your Life with me, Leanne Champion. This is where we get to reflect, refine, and reboot your one precious life. In this space, we take a deeper look at what's holding you back. Maybe you want to show up differently for the people in your life. Maybe you're struggling with your emotional well-being. Maybe you feel as though something's missing and you want to get excited about your future. There's some good news. You can shift your perspective and begin to walk through the world in new, refreshing ways. I am a certified life and well-being coach who was called to create this show as a means to facilitate a journey of personal development. You have the power to change. Your life is precious. Don't waste another minute feeling unfulfilled. Champion Your Life starts now. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Champion Your Life with me, Leanne Champion. I hope you're enjoying your day wherever you are. It's a beautiful fall one here in Connecticut. Today, we're going to actually talk to all the people pleasers out in the world. And more specifically, we're going to talk about becoming more aware of people pleasing tendencies and eventually learn how to implement our tagline, which is learn to speak your truth in love. Learn to speak your truth in love. So let me start out by painting a few scenes for you, just right off the bat. There's a woman out in the world who has tremendous anxiety because she wants to tell her boss that no, she won't work overtime for the third day this week, but she's terrified to do so. And there's also a man who feels very resentful in his relationship because he feels that he's always the one giving and his partner's always taking. And he's afraid of the reaction he will get if he addresses how he feels. And there's a teen out there in the world desperately trying to fit in, and she's giving into peer pressure just to be accepted. And though these stories really differ, these people share a painful secret. They worry that if they are truly and authentically themselves, that they won't be loved and accepted. And they've spent their lives morphing into smaller, more acceptable versions of who they really are, and so far away from the way that God truly created them. And with these just small examples, I want to welcome you all to the world of people-pleasing. It's interesting to note right off the bat that people-pleasers don't usually seem like the kind of people that others look at and think, I think they need some help. They're not the kind of people who send out obvious mental health red flags or who exhibit a tremendous amount of distress. In fact, they just seem like lovely, generous people who have it all together. And I'm going to just say right from the get-go, I love them and I get them and I understand them because I too was a people pleaser. I actually now refer to myself as a recovering people pleaser. But truly, in my teens and early 20s, I used to listen in awe as my friends splattered their bold, unfiltered truths across our conversations. I mean, they had no problem telling it like it is. You know, and I, on the other hand, just wanted everyone to be good. I wanted everybody to be happy no matter what. Genuinely felt that it was my job somehow. And I would just jump through hoops to make sure everyone was okay. I was what you would call the peacemaker. I was the one that said, yes, sure, I can do that for you. I'll figure that out for you. I was convinced that somehow I could make it work for everyone. It was really wild, right? But I really tried. Somewhere along the line, I think around in my 30s, I started to realize and come to the conclusion that people pleasing was really way too exhausting. And that exhaustion, I realized, in that exhaustion, we tend to lose ourselves really fast. In a way, it's interesting. People pleasing can be very addictive. I mean, it does feel good to help others, right? But if it's at the expense of you, it can become debilitating. You know, the problem for people pleasers is that they inevitably run out of people pleasing steam. I mean, what starts off as a genuine desire to love and please others can turn into resentment, right? And good old fashioned anger. So human, right? I mean, people pleasers can only please so much before they crack. And some will crack and you will never know it. Their behavior might be a little different, a little passive aggressive or sarcastic, and with seemingly no reason. But you know what? There's always a reason. In the years since my more extreme people-pleasing youthful days, my coaching has led me to speak with other recovering people-pleasers. And I have found it fascinating in my research that people-pleasing is actually learned at a very young age. And often it will involve a parent or a caregiver who has very little patience and gets set off easily. And when we're little, we figure out that there's almost a formula, right, for this child-parent dynamic. If we please that parent will stay calm, right, and happy. And once we figure this out, we keep this tool handy, because then we realize, oh my goodness, this works with a lot of different kinds of people. Interesting to acknowledge that this skewed tool can stay with us if we aren't careful for a lifetime. Now, within a family, a form of people-pleasing could show itself by humor. I mean, if you can make someone laugh, I mean, wow, that can settle a room, can't it? It can deflect any negativity going down. So at its core, people-pleasing can be a form of defense, can it? I think all the families in the world should thank the people-pleasers because they did a lot to keep the peace within their families. But you can see where it could be a very fine line for the people pleaser themselves, as they often take on the brunt of the energy. But within family, people pleasers are seen, really seen as thoughtful and kind, and they truly are. But there's also a part of them that desires reciprocation of some kind. They do what they can to please others with the hope of receiving similar treatment in return. It's interesting. When we are people pleasers, we are often looking into another person's eyes and immediately trying to guess what it is it that they want me to do. And often when we think we figured it out, we haven't processed it yet, but we'll just go out and do it, whatever it is. And why? Why do we do that? For so many people, it's wrapped up in our own self-worth. Some people find their self-worth by the approval of others. And I have found in my own life, that's a very slippery slope. So in order to create that independence and happiness for ourselves as we age, when we are breaking patterns of people-pleasing, we need to actually look into our own eyes, right? And not revert to maybe how we were with our parents and actually ask, wait a minute, what do I think? How would I feel doing this? And what would please me? It's funny though, for so many people pleasers, that is the last thing they would think of doing. It's just not even on their radar. They are so accustomed to looking outside of themselves, actually preferring to do things for other people. And boy, oh boy, there is a fine line between helping others and being a people pleaser. And mistaking one for the other can be detrimental to our soul, to our well-being. I love this slide that I'm going to show you all. When you engage in people pleasing, you are out of integrity with yourself, your goals, and your dreams, in your life's mission. I'm going to say it again because it's so powerful. When you engage in people pleasing, you are out of integrity with yourself, your goals, in your dreams, in your life's mission. I can remember a powerful moment for me when I was letting go of some of my people pleasing scenarios. And one of them, I was serving on a board, and that had really truly been life changing for me for many years, but now was actually going a different direction. And I began to realize I no longer belonged on that board. It had nothing to do with them. It was more that I realized that my skill sets didn't really match their new vision. And that was okay. But it was one of those moments that I had to really ask myself, wow, so Leanne, why is it hard for you to leave this board? And I realized it was the connection, right? We're all wired for connection to other people. But then I had to take it a step further. I had to say, are you staying to people please the others? Or did I just not want to say goodbye to this tribe? You know what? I actually think it was a little bit of everything. So what did I do in this situation? I stopped. I paused. And I did what I teach you all now. I reflected, I refined, and I rebooted. And I left that board. I've spoken with so many people who are working towards conquering their people-pleasing patterns, and some may be recovering from codependent relationships and are now setting more empowered boundaries for themselves. But most importantly, what's so beautiful to see is that they're learning the art of speaking their truth in love. I mean, if you spend the majority of your time focused on others' needs, I mean, you are going to drain yourself and be emotionally deficient 95% of the time, solely focusing on other people. And that's where the math never works in your favor, right? It only highlights a major issue in your life, because a people pleaser really is just accommodating dysfunction. And ironically, the dysfunction shows up in both people's lives, the people pleaser and the person being pleased. So I want to just give you three simple steps that are so simple that you won't forget them, which is awesome, right? Number one, if it drains you, or if it causes you resentment, or if someone doesn't reciprocate in your life, you need to pause and ask yourself, why am I doing this? Once again, if it drains you, if it causes resentment, or if someone does not reciprocate, you need to reflect, refine, and reboot. I think this very simple tool will, in fact, paint a bigger picture of how to get beyond the level of draining your own emotional bank account. Remember, this is key. Giving, caring, and pleasing others is supposed to come from such a purely enthusiastic and compassionate place. It should not involve any anger or resentment or hope of reciprocation. So it's interesting, if that seeps in while you're giving, then you're really not giving anything pure, right? You're merely sacrificing yourself. And Ina, one will argue that sacrifice is noble and kind and bold, but doing it every day with everyone or many, many people in your life, you know somewhere that deep down inside, it's just not a great way to roll. Here's just one more interesting thought. What if disappointing people doesn't necessarily have to be a red light? Doesn't have to be a bad thing? What if sometimes it's actually a sign that you are merely aligning with the best version of yourself? Ever thought of looking at it that way? We're going to go for a quick break here. And when we come back, we're going to blow our own minds and discuss four truisms around people pleasing that will help you to break this pattern for good. And I promise you might be hearing yourself in some of these examples, but it's okay. You've been listening to Champion Your Life with me, and we're going to be right back.
You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Day-to-day living can be difficult in our world today. Most of us don't know how to live a peaceful, joy-filled existence. Learn how to break through these barriers and live a transformative life on Love and Light with me, Dr. Lisa, every day living in peace, every second and fourth Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To work with Dr. Lisa, visit EducationThroughEngagement.com.
On Champion Your Life, and we're talking to all those people pleasers out there in the world. There's a lot of us. We are now looking at the four truisms that will help you break people pleasing patterns. So here we go. Truism number one: if you don't speak your truth will speak to you through your health. I'm going to repeat that. If you don't speak your truth will speak to you through your health. Whew, it's a big one, right? At first, staying silent to keep the peace sounds like a really, really good idea. I mean, why should we speak the truth in love and deal with others' negative reactions when we could just, you know, stomach our own discomfort? No. Those of us who play the role of peacekeeper in our families of origin will find this approach familiar and maybe even comfortable. But the real truth is, and hear me, external peace does not create inner peace. I'm going to repeat that. External peace does not create inner peace for us. When we stay silent and keep it in, ironically, those around us may in fact seem blissfully unaware, but we will feel the repercussions both physically and emotionally. When we stifle our voice for long periods of time, we can feel anxiety, anger, jaw tension, sleepless nights, stomach aches, and sadly, even depression. But when we become recovering people pleasers, we recognize that the truth in love isn't some silly, cheesy self-help mantra. No, in fact, it's truly necessary for our emotional and physical well-being. Truism number two: expecting others to read our minds is a recipe for resentment and anger. Truism number two: expecting others to read our minds is a recipe for resentment and anger. You know, I used to think that if the people really knew me and loved me, that they would predict my needs too. Wrong. I was often disappointed when others didn't show that they cared in the way that I wanted them to. I mean, what is the matter with them? How come they didn't know? When we assume that others should share the same definition of being cared for, I think that's when we really get ourselves in trouble. I mean, you might be longing for your partner to say, I love you. You are amazing. But instead, he shows his love by changing the tires on your car instead. In Gary Chapman's book, The Five Love Languages, he really beautifully depicts the ways in which people show love. And they're all different. They include words of affirmation, quality time, gifts, acts of service, and physical touch. And I think that's incredible. I think we should all avoid the guessing game here in relationships and actually communicate our needs to our mates and significant others. When we take the time to explain ourselves to loved ones, it helps to avoid all sorts of mixed messages, right? Mixed signals that could lead to really painful miscommunication. But I think when we take the time to explain ourselves to those we love, so much is possible. Respect blossoms. Love gets healthier. It's just a win-win. Truism number three: caregiving can actually become selfish when we don't have a strong foundation of self-love. I know, I got to say this one again for you. Caregiving can actually become selfish when we don't have a strong foundation of self-love. It's really interesting how many people pleasers take care of others because it gives them a sense of value. And we will often structure our identities around being reliable, right? Generous, good listeners, and maybe even self-sacrificial. And I first just want to say, all right, nothing wrong with all of those beautiful attributes. However, if we give to others without taking care of ourselves, without developing our own interests, we may find that our need to be needed is our only purpose in life. And then what happens? Our well runs dry. And this also means that we may insist on caregiving even when our efforts are no longer required, requested, or welcomed, which ironically, on the flip side, can violate someone else's boundaries and autonomy. Stay with me. In simpler terms, someone might be saying to you, I've got this now, but you are not listening. So the lesson in this is just give yourself the same degree of love and care that you want to regularly give to others. Take that quiet time for you. Plan that month out. Take that exercise class. Treat yourself to a delicious dinner. This way, when you do decide to care for others, you can do so with zero strings and zero guilt attached. Does that make sense? This is really something so many people need to consider. And truism number four, just because it feels awkward to state your needs and set proper boundaries, don't panic. It only means it's new to you. Just because it feels awkward to state your needs and set proper boundaries, don't panic. It only means it's new to you. So interesting. Many of the people that I've spoken with will tell me how scary it feels to state their needs at first. I mean, for them, it just was like impossible, terrifying, overwhelming. I'm sure some of you can relate. However, that discomfort should be seen as a natural growing pain. I mean, after all, breaking the people-pleasing pattern in our lives means rewriting the scripts that you've been following since childhood. Perhaps as a child, you were told that speaking your truth made you unlovable. Or perhaps you were bullied in school for being different and made fierce efforts to blend in as a result. It's so important to understand that you were breaking years of decade-long patterns of making yourself either small or maybe even agreeable, maybe both. But the good news is all of this will feel challenging, less challenging with practice. I mean, every time you do it, less challenging every time. And I also want you all, just for a moment, to reconsider the emotions of anxiety and discomfort in these instances. Instead of interpreting the feelings of anxiety as a sign that somehow, oh no, I'm doing it wrong, while you're stopping, right, a pattern of people-pleasing, I want you to reframe it. Reframe that anxiety and discomfort as a sign of growth. Yes, that you are indeed doing something new and positive. And yes, there's going to be some discomfort involved. Yes. You might feel anxiety, but you are growing as well. So interesting. After setting a boundary, many of my clients will say, oh my gosh, I suddenly feel like just this really bad person, like a bad wife or bad husband, a bad colleague, girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever. You are not. You are not. I want you to hear me on this. But you know what's happening here? What's happening is your nervous system needs to catch up with you, with all your growth. And sometimes it just takes a little time, but it will catch up. You will begin to understand this process and let it flow. But just when you're feeling that discomfort, all that anxiety, don't panic. Just breathe and know you are on the right track. You know, in wrapping all of this up, there are just few things that will affect you in life as much as being a people pleaser. And I mean, both in business and in life. I believe this shows up for many people in some capacity. And it's interesting, we can have broken the people pleasing pattern in several areas, but it may still show up in a few other areas. And if we are not conscious and aware, what we do in those moments is we basically hand the reins of our lives over to someone else. And I want you to remember that you are not usually their number one interest. You know, it's really important to choose and be wise about who we include in our lives. God has wired us for relationships, and He wants us to be wise and choose carefully. I'm going to leave you with this thought. Please choose the right people who also care about you, with whom you have a deep connection. They'll stand alongside you, even when you decide something they don't like. The ones who want to control you are only there to get something from you. They most likely will be mad at you when you make a decision that they don't agree with. Better to find that out now rather than later. I want to encourage you that by setting boundaries, you have just done some serious life-changing, recovering, people-pleasing work. And this doesn't happen in a day or a week. It's often just part of this emotional intelligence journey of our lives. This takes time and effort to grow. But you know what? Boy, is it worth it. Reach out if you need any help. I'm always available to champion your life. Remember, speak your truth in love. Godspeed.
Thank you for listening to Champion Your Life with me, Leanne Champion, on TransformationTalkRadio.com. To find out more about me and my coaching platform, visit championyourlife.com. That's championyourlife.com. You have one precious life. Let's live it to your fullest potential. Let's go. Let's do this together. See you next time.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.